You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on December 11, 2024, and is titled, The Gift. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Hi, just glad to be back home, and last week was a big week, and so we appreciate all of you coming back around today. Next Wednesday we'll be here. The Wednesday after that is Christmas, and we will not be here that day. So if any of your religious friends thinks that you're going to hell because we skipped Christmas church service, you tell them, call me. It's 806-786-7539, and we'll help them, okay? So that'll be my Christmas gift to them, is to get them over it. But anyhow, we're going to talk about that tonight just to kind of help everybody along. But I hope everybody's doing well. You know, there's not just a lot to report, but I'll tell you one thing from a guy that travels around the country and covers a lot of country and sees a lot of people, and there's a good atmosphere in the land. There's good attitude. People are forward thinking now. There's the fear and things is diminishing, not just because of one man going to attain an office, but just the whole, it's like I was talking about a few weeks ago. I believe our country's more on the same page and more in one accord now than we've been, man, for a long time. And I think that oneness, it encourages people. We draw from that. And so we're not as weak in the knees. We're not as confused. We're not as double-minded as we were. And so, I mean, things are really, really looking good. Do you know what I like about that the most? Is it lets me have time to focus on me and what's right under my nose, as opposed to the last 15 years of driving around and speaking and staying engaged. And I was telling Carolyn a little story. There's a friend of mine hit me up at the cutting fraternity this last week, and he gathered me up and he said, well, what do you think about them Trump appointments? I said, I don't know. Well, are you not paying attention? Are you not keeping up with it? Well, yeah, I've heard their names. I don't know any of them people. Never met them. So, whatever. He said, my gosh, are you just not interested? Nope, not really. Thank you very much. And he said, really? And I said, well, here's the deal. I hired the best man I knew to run the country, and I'm good. And I said, let me ask you something. You sit up here and do your thing during the cutting fraternity and everything, everywhere we go, the horse sales. Have I ever walked up here and asked you who you thought I should get to be my bid spotters out there around the ring? Well, no. I said, you know why? Because you don't know what you're doing and you don't know any of them. So I don't need your help. And honestly, America is so full of armchair quarterbacks. And now with all the social media and all this stuff, I don't care if you do it to pro football. I mean, they don't care either. They just want to sell you some beer and do some stuff, but armchair quarterback away. But you know what would really be good right now while we have this atmosphere? It'd be really good time to focus on the fruitfulness of your life. What you got going on. What your family's got going on. I bet that'll be enough to deal with till 2028, where we got to do it again. It might be a good time to just enjoy the peace of God that transcends all understanding for just a minute. If I'm not busy doing everybody else's job, maybe I can just sit still and enjoy mine. Maybe I can meditate on some of my hopes and dreams and things. Shoot, maybe I can just sit down and let them BBs just stop for a minute. That'd be a neat thing if them BBs just didn't bang around for a whole day up there. Wouldn't that be something? And everybody just get peaceful and joyful and be able to do what the Bible says. To work with your hands, minding your own business, and being a burden to no one. Wow. Wouldn't that be a cool way to spend the next few months? So tonight we're going to talk about a little bit that there was a gift that was given to the whole world that would let you live that way. If that sounds like a cool way to live, there was a gift given us that will help us do that. But first we have to realize. We got to realize everything that's been given to us. And then you kind of got to hook on to it. Put some things into practice. I'm tired of just right now. There's no need to wrestle with the politics. Pray for them when you feel like it. I don't want to wrestle with the religion. I'm not going to wrestle with Christmas. And by the time I get done tonight, you'll know exactly where I'm at, how I feel, what I'm going to do. And when I get done, I don't give two rotten eggs what you do about it. That'll be totally up to you. But I'm just not going to wrestle with it. You can't wrestle in peace. You can't do it. There's a time to wrestle, and there's a time to sit still. And so we're probably not going to all do it at the same time, but I want to encourage you in that a little bit today, because in the world that I've been hanging out in, it just smells different than it did. Things are happening. This awakening in America is happening. And it is going to be human to human, kitchen table to kitchen table. The heartland of America is going to lead the charge. And the Western way of life is the front line. The front line is the Western way of life. That's exactly how it is. That's exactly how it's going to go down. And it's happening. If it takes 40 years for anybody totally realize what just happened, let me tell you today, it is happening. So anyhow, I'm going to pray, and we're going to get Seth up here and sing a little bit, and then we'll get on with it. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you tonight. Thank you for our time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this good fellowship, that people come a long ways, they come a short ways, that people take time out of their day to come together to fellowship, to enjoy each other's company, to enjoy your word, to sit here and meditate and allow you, the Holy Spirit, to minister God's word to each one of us individually. Tonight, Lord, there's many around us that need a helping hand. Many around us that have needs. Lord, we pray for each one of them, even though we don't know them by name. We continue to pray for our friend Earl as he struggles in his own health issues. But we know one thing for certain, Lord, whatever it is he's going through, you and him are doing it together. So, Lord, we just give you praise for your nearness and nowness. We thank you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the giver of life. We give you all the glory, Jesus. Amen. I think that's Seth's first time up here on our stage, isn't it, singing and leading? Yeah, I think y'all will give him big praise offerings, what I do. Man, that's a good job, too, bud. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, really good, really good. Hey, tonight we're going to, you know, it's the Christmas season, and this is what everybody's talking about. About 3 o'clock this morning, the Lord and I got together there, and I woke up, and we talked a little bit about the whole thing. And those of you that have been hanging around here a long time, you know, if I struggle with something or I'm dealing with something or I want to figure something out or whatever it is, if y'all stick with me, we're going to work our way through it. Give me just a little more, would you, Leonard? I've been barking all day here. But they, we just walk through it. We talk through it. I don't go get somebody's book on it. I'll read this book and I listen to the voice of the Lord and I work it out as good as I can for me and my family. And then the rest of y'all get to hang out and do whatever you want to do. And you know, over time we've talked and we've discussed a lot of different things because there are so many things in the Christian religion that become roadblocks. They become different things for each one of us that if we're not careful, that becomes the reflection of our faith. And I've been talking a lot and it had a real good deal down there in Fort Worth. I spoke at the other day and I talked to him a lot about the difference between religious faith and realized faith. Because realized faith is real. Realized faith erupts into action. We talked about that yesterday morning at our Bible study out of James 1. Religious faith is reflected in your pattern, in your ability to do the patterns of religion. And so if we're not careful, days of the week become holy. I want you to hear that now. I'll tell you what day is holy. Every one of them that ends in Y. If you think God takes 6 days off and then he makes his sudden appearance on the seventh day or whatever you might have going on, I mean, that's just silliness. But there's a lot of silliness in our religion. And then we entered on to the battlefield of Easter. Now, look, I took that one on. Well-versed in it. I took it on because it was a tool of the devil to deviate from Passover. And so when you discover that, you can't unlearn this. Once you learn it, and everybody just do whatever you want to do. I don't, if Reese's eggs are your deal, get after it. But, we come back to Passover. That's big. I also know for a fact that Jesus Christ was not born on the 25th day of December. I can't tell you what day he was born, but I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was not it. There are a lot of theories. There's a lot of ideas. I've got my own. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. There is no religious celebration. There's no religious celebration in the New Testament. None. The first day of the week is kind of a big deal because that's when Jesus got up. And then two more times they set aside a sum of money. But there's a lot of stuff they did on the second day of the week and the third day of the week and the fourth day of the week and the fifth day of the week. It's called life. That's the gift of God, is life. Life doesn't stop for a day. Life goes on. Things happen. Do you know you can get cancer on a Sunday? Then you got to deal with it on Monday. I mean, you got to get real about this stuff. So for myself, I've picked some things. Because if I see Satan come in here and tell me or that I'm supposed to do something that's contrary to this book, then that's going to bug me because of the Holy Spirit in me. That's going to bug me. So as long as I'm bugged, I'm going to work on it, okay? Probably not going to get fixed in a day. Like I said, I'm not fixing to run down to the library and see what somebody else says about it. I'm just going to let the Lord deal with me on it right now, day by day, minute by minute, see where we're at. So what do you do about Christmas? Because that's a Constantinian thing. That was to engage religiosity and paganism. It worked, man. Walmart loves it. I mean, Hallmark cards could not make it without you people. We got to have these religious holidays, you know? So me personally, I could care less about the 25th of December. I could care less about the day. Don't care if it falls on a Tuesday. Don't care if it falls on a Wednesday. By whatever day it is, you're going to get a day off of work. That's a good thing. If you do it right, spend a little time with your family doing stuff. But what about the season? What about the change in the atmosphere? You see, I have a little bit of an emotional attachment to this because last Tuesday was the 3rd of December. And 29 years ago, last Thursday, my pickup had been inundated with a new Christian radio station in western Oklahoma. And they played a lot of Christmas songs. I'd been 3 days or four or five, probably longer than that, dealing with me. I didn't know God was dealing with me. I just thought I was dealing with me until he showed up. And 29 years ago last Tuesday, I realized that a Savior had been born and that I could be born again. There you go. Merry Christmas. But in this atmosphere, this season, we've all grew up with memories. Things that move us emotionally. Things that mean something to us. I remember one sermon I gave around here, one of the Christmases a few years ago. I remember 9 years ago, I gave a message about a baby changes everything, and shortly thereafter, Rhett was born. So I'll always remember that message. I remember a couple messages after that. A couple years later, I talked about a little kid who got a Hot Wheels. That year, I got a Hot Wheels for Christmas, a few years ago. Got me a Hot Wheels. There are some things to it. There's things that mean something. I realized at 3 o'clock this morning that it's because of the gift of God that things do mean something. And it's not tangled up in days of the week. It's not tangled up in buildings built by human hands. It's really entwined in what means the most to us. And here's where I think we get off base sometimes. We make Christianity all about this. And pretty soon, Easter is all about this, whether it's good or bad. And Christmas becomes all about this. One of the smartest things I've done, we served a Christmas Eve communion around here, and it was great for years on Christmas Eve. But I had a Christmas Eve communion last year that was the best one I ever participated in my entire life. I've taken communion on Emmaus walks. I've served communion here. I've seen it all. And sitting in a cabin in the mountains with my family, taking communion and celebrating Jesus. I don't even know what day of the week it was. I know it wasn't Christmas Day. Now that meant something. That was huge. Because the greatest gifts that God had given me in this life were all sitting around me. I didn't need a tree. I didn't need a fat guy with cookies and milk. I didn't need any of that. I had everything I needed and every good gift, according to James 1, comes from the Father of heavenly lights, comes from heaven above. But until you've realized, if you just go through the motions, if your faith is simply replicated in the motions of religion, I'm here to tell you tonight that there's a gift that you can unwrap that is so much more than that. So much more than waiting a week to get another goose pimple. So much more than, I love that. That was some of the best song leading. I mean, Seth, you sing kind of down there where I can get it on, you know? I like that. But I'll be darned if I got to wait till the next time he grabs a guitar before I'm going to sing and praise the Lord. See what I mean? And if you just follow the patterns of religion, you've been cheated. Because there's a better gift. There's a realized gift. And so this morning about 3 o'clock, the Lord woke me up and he said, tell him about Simeon. Well, I knew exactly who he was talking about. He's over here in Luke chapter 2. Hey, at least this time of year, the whole world wears out the book of Luke. I mean, really, we live in a society that has eradicated the Bible from everything and every place we know. But at least in this season, it's open again. In this season, we're talking about Jesus all across the globe. Yeah, he's tangled up in all kinds of other stupid stuff that you can figure out to do however you want to do it. But if you get down to the part, and you know the number one thing about Christmas is gifts. I think Jesus would be a lot more attractive to our whole society if we just learned how to appreciate the gifts, or maybe if we knew what the gifts were, it'd be a little easier to appreciate. You see, until you become thankful and appreciate, it's hard to live in peace. You know, the Bible even tells us to pray for our enemies. I think we're supposed to appreciate them. I was thinking about that this afternoon. There's people, you know, I try real hard to love everybody, and there's some of them that I just kind of try to like. But people that can be a little difficult from time to time. I think today I got a little glimmer that I need to appreciate that guy, because when those guys get around, they bring out the worst in me. I should appreciate them. Because when I can see the worst in me, I realize I need the best in Jesus. I got some more fixing to do. And so even appreciating our enemies, appreciating the difficult things in life. Yesterday morning, we started off in James 1. Man, that book of James is so good. Count it pure joy, my brethren, when you face trials of many kinds. That's your only hope of persevering in that. Your only hope of becoming mature. Maturity is the only hope of living without lack. The maturity and wisdom. So anyhow, we get over here into Luke chapter 2, and let's go to verse 21, and it says, when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. 8 days for the circumcision. Just one little old side note right there. Just follow the pattern. You want to follow the pattern of the Bible? Don't follow a seventh-day pattern. Follow the eighth day. 8 days when Jesus was resurrected. That's the first day of the week. 8 means new beginnings. Everybody that's been born again has now been given a new beginning in Christ Jesus in the kingdom of God. And on the 8th day, we were going to have a circumcision. You just remember that circumcision of the heart came on your 8th day. Whatever day of the week that was, however the calendar falls, it don't matter, because that's the day of your new beginning, the day you were circumcised with the Holy Ghost. That's what salvation is. And so it said there in verse 22, now when the days for her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb, that's firstborn, shall be called holy to the Lord. That was a representation of first fruits offering, the very thing that God did for us. That's why he impregnated a virgin. Jesus was the first male to open the womb, and he was the sacrifice for all mankind. Because he was holy, we now too can be deemed holy. Even in our wretched state, be deemed holy. Because Jesus is holy. And so, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, what was said to the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. See, there's an old Christmas song, 2 turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. Verse 25 says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Right through here, we need to go slow. He was waiting for Messiah. He was waiting for the nation of Israel, who lived in uncertainty and turmoil and all the different things of the day.
Well, that concludes our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.